live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
You've got two timeouts. Making an attempt to get down and kick a field goal isn't doing too much. You know you're going to need to score points, but Jacksonville, the way they've operated all season long, is they get a lead. They are conservative offensively. And they just hope that their defense can lock down. And this time it just didn't work.
I think it says how much they trust Blake Bortles. Throw a screen pass or something and see if you get 10 or 15 yards. You can't give the Patriots those kind of chances. They will take advantage of them.
Yep.
The whole difference in the game, Eagles defense much better than Vikings defense yesterday. Nick Foles much better than Case Keenum yesterday. Yep. And you could tell early on Nick Foles was on his game.
That was probably the best playoff performance by a quarterback this season. He did it against what has been regarded as a top-tier defense. Every chance they got, they took advantage of what the Vikings gave them. The Eagles' defense is very good.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And if you missed the first 2 hours, all available at podcastarena.com. And we welcome in our SportsMap 94.1 listeners to the show. Of course, you'll have to go back for the first 2 hours, which were pretty much all football.
Right.
And we talked a little MMA, but that was about it. Didn't talk about your Rockets beating the Warriors. Were you excited about that?
No, it's a regular season basketball. Exactly. But it, I mean, it's better to win than to lose. I mean, but they, my opinion hasn't changed on that. They've won two out of three against them. I mean, that's, like I said, it's better than losing two out of three, but the regular season is a regular season. I've got to see them do it in the playoffs before I buy into they're better than the Warriors.
Yeah, I do like that they're unbeaten with Capella, Harden, and Paul playing together, but there's a long way to go. And to me, at this point, hey, they're good. They're going to be probably the two seed. You know, just keep everybody healthy and show me what you can do in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So, one thing we have not talked about is that your Tennessee Titans have a new coach.
They do.
And I'm kind of curious to get your thoughts on this. I wrote something about this for SportsMap over the weekend.
My thoughts are okay. I mean, you and I sat here on this show and said that we think he should be fired. And not only was he not fired, he got basically a promotion. The guy who ran the 32nd ranked defense in the NFL, 32nd out of 32. Got a head coaching job. It makes no sense to me. I get that people say, he's fiery. He's a leader of men. Dude, you're not talking about a cheerleader here. We're talking about you need someone to be the head football coach of your team. He may have the worst resume of any head coach in the NFL. Like, he's done nothing to warrant getting the job that he's got.
Well, from a Texans perspective, this is a win-win.
Absolutely.
Because frankly, if you're – and I've seen a lot of people defend him. It's like, well, he didn't have this starter and this starter and this starter. Well, yeah, there were injuries, and I'll give you that. But you were still 32nd. You weren't hurt enough to where you should have had the worst defense in the NFL. And think about it. There's some bad defenses out there.
No
doubt. For you to be 32nd. And the other thing that I would – that really – I find baffling is the team never got better during the course of the season. You remember a couple of years ago when they were giving up all those points against the Dolphins and the Falcons early on under Romeo? By the end of the season, they fixed all that. This team did not get better week to week. They never made any adjustments. And this is his one thing he has on his resume where he's coordinating this defense. You know, it's about, oh, he gets the most out of his players. No, no. He coaches them up. No, none of that. So I think he's got a great reputation, and I've seen this before. We all have, where everybody says, oh, this guy can coach, and so they fast-track him, and it doesn't work very often. It worked with John Harbaugh, who got fast-tracked. But most of the time you do that, it's just not going to pay off for you. But the good news is, Cornell's back, so your defense just got better if you're the Texans.
Yeah.
You've got a division rival that just won a playoff game that's gambling now. And now, if I'm the Titans, I have a lot of respect for John Robinson and the job he's done as GM there. But if this is a guy I'm hiring, I'm saying, okay, I want you to go and hire John Fox or Jack Del Rio as your defensive coordinator. I want a guy with coaching experience I can lean on.
I mean, if you're John Fox or Jack Del Rio, do you want to go work for a guy who you know you're a better coach than?
No, but I mean, if those are the guys I'm calling. I want guys with experience or Jim Caldwell to run my offense. I want guys that have been there before that I can lean on, because the guy does not have much of a resume. And an inexperienced coach, that's the smartest thing to do. I don't know if they'll do that.
Right.
But that's what I would do. And I know Bill O'Brien's excited, but the Texans, this takes them off the hook. Because if they started off next year the same way they finished this year, and let's not forget, they were bad when J.J. was healthy and Whitney Mercilus was healthy. So if they'd started off next year like that, you're talking about having to fire the guy.
Yeah.
And admitting you made a mistake.
I would have fired the guy now. I would have already fired
him. I would have too. But
once they decided to keep Bill O'Brien, I said, okay, if that's what you're going to do, well, fine, but you've got to fire Mike Vrabel.
Absolutely.
And then they didn't. I was like, I mean, they're basically just saying, well, we assume that we were this bad only because a couple guys got hurt. I just can't. I don't know how many games those guys are worth to go from that was projected to be one of the best defenses in the NFL. So somehow J.J. Watt and Whitney Mercilus are worth how many games? How many spots in the defensive rankings?
Well,
it's unreal.
Yeah, and not just that. It's the 40-yard plays they gave up throughout the season. I mean, the blown coverages. It was just bad coaching. And yeah, nobody wanted to say it. And it's like, oh, well, but he had all these injuries. Well, you're making excuses for him. And somebody mentioned like McVay did with Wade Phillips. Yeah, that's exactly what I would do if I'm him. And I go out and get somebody who I know is a damn good defensive coach and a damn good offensive coach.
That's the thing. The difference, though, with Sean McVay going out and hiring Wade Phillips is Sean McVay is an offensive coach.
Right.
And this would be more like we're talking about a young defensive coach with no resume asking. It'd be like saying, okay, hey, this asking some great defensive mind to come work for him and just being like, I don't know. I don't feel like I've got anything to prove here. And at least with Phillips, it seems like, hey, I know what I'm doing with the offense. I need someone with experience on the defensive side. Now you've got a defensive coach with very little experience on, you know, coordinating a defense who someone with much more experience than him is going to be their boss. That's tough, man. That's really tough.
But a lot of those guys just want to coach, and they know that they can rebuild their reputation. And if from what I understand, they want him to be a CEO type. Well, if that's the case, then you need somebody like that on your defense. And Casper says, I read Vrabel wants the Ohio State offensive coordinator. I'd read that, too, that he wants to bring in a guy who runs the Chip Kelly offense for Mariota. It's like, okay, but you better get some kind of experienced coach on that staff. So, 512 said, I agree it's bad coaching, but how much is bad personnel? Kevin Johnson was terrible this year. Yeah, and Kevin Johnson was out of position. I mean, how many times did you see running backs, when they started running the ball wide, the Texans were out of position? I mean, yes, the players did not play well, but they're not bad enough to be the 32nd ranked defense.
The talent, they don't have the 32nd worst talent on defense, even without Watt and Mercilus. They should be better than that, and they weren't. So to me, that's when you point at coaching.
Yeah. And it's not just
kind of like that. We talked about with Jason Kidd. If you look at the roster and you go, man, this should be pretty good. And it's mediocre, and in this case, it's bad. It just doesn't make sense. That's got to be on coaching.
And what did they do to improve throughout the season on defense?
They didn't do anything.
Nothing, right? Isn't that coaching?
They didn't change anything. No. They didn't adjust any ways. They just kept running out the same old stuff and kept being bad.
And you know, did he get the most out of Clowney? I don't know. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. But what I saw was a lot of blown coverages, a lot of mistakes, and a defense that never got better. And yes, they had a lot of injuries, and yes, they were, you know, but look how many injuries the Eagles have had. Let's talk about that. They lost their middle linebacker. They lost their starting left tackle. They lost their quarterback. It goes on. And guess what? They're in the Super Bowl. Yep. So, I mean, injuries happen to everybody. And yeah, it sucked that you lost Watt and Merciless, but you shouldn't have gone from, you shouldn't be the 32nd best defense. So basically, you get to have the worst defense in the league, and then you get to be a head coach. Okay. Good luck.
I think a good comparison would be the Seattle Seahawks. They lost a bunch of players off their defense. They finished, they gave up the third least amount of points last season, and this season they finished 12th. So I think that's a good barometer.
Yeah,
without Richard Sherman, without Earl Thomas.
Yeah, that's a good barometer to where you should be falling.
I agree.
Of going from one of the best.
Now, to be fair, the Seahawks also have a defensive-oriented head coach who has had success for a long time with defenses. I guess Crennel was there.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I don't know what he was doing. I think he was just sitting up in the box saying, "Oh."
Well, that's why I'm not crazy about Romeo Crennel taking over the defense. I mean, it can't be much worse, but like, why didn't Romeo Crennel at some point last year say, hey, Mike, here's how we could fix this thing? Like, what was his job last year?
I'm sure he did, and I'm sure that they didn't do anything with it. But 436 points they gave up last year. 436 points. And there were so many games where they were just it was just clueless. They couldn't stop the run. They couldn't stop the pass. It was hard to watch. And, you know, and then think about the late game breakdowns, like against the Patriots, against the Seahawks, where those teams just walked down the field on them late in the game. That's when they were still had hope because they had Deshaun Watson. So good luck, Tennessee. I hope he works out for you. But I still think this is an upgrade for the Texans because I don't know what Romeo was doing last year. I'm pretty sure he took it as a semi-retirement job without much pressure.
Yeah.
But I've seen
pressure's on again.
Yeah, I've seen his act when he's doing it. I know he can do it. I know it's going to be an upgrade. So Texans fans should be happy. You also should be happy if you're heading over to Lions Poker right now for their tournament that starts at 6:30. $80 buy-in with a $20 seat fee. And how about this? AJ, how'd you like to win $3,000?
I could use $3,000.
Well, that's what's guaranteed.
That would help me.
That's what's guaranteed to first place tonight. You know what? You got until 7:45 to go in and sign up because these Hold'em tournaments are terrific. And guess what? Not only that, you're going to get points. Right now, they've got a great promotion going on. They're going to fly 10 players to Las Vegas in a private jet to play in the World Series of Poker's $10,000 Hold'em main event tournament. 10 players will get their buy-ins for the event and, you know, luxury hotel accommodations, transportation. And through Sunday, January 10th, every time you play, you get points. You make the final table, you get points in these Hold'em tournaments. The 30 players with the most points after June the 10th will play in a free roll with the top 10 going to Vegas and the bottom 20 getting 1,000 each. And I'm telling you, man, this place is amazing.
It just sounds too good to be true, really. Like, I mean, yeah. That promotion, it's just unbelievable. All you got to do is, if you play, you're entered in a chance to win. It's just a really awesome deal. Listen, this is a Vegas-style room. They've got a ton of tables. They've got televisions all over the place. You can BYOB, which is awesome. Follow them on Facebook, Lions Poker Palace, for all the tournaments and events information, or just stop by and check it out for yourself. 6134 Richmond Avenue. It is a poker palace. Mention that you heard about it here on ESPN. You'll get your first 2 hours of play for free. That's 6134 Richmond Avenue for Lions Poker Palace.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Just realized we have not done a Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day yet, so let's do a Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The gem of the day. It's the gem of the day. The Zadok Jeweler gem of the day.
All right, we go to China, which is fast becoming the Florida of Asia. Yangzhou in the Jiangsu province. I probably need Granado in here to pronounce those. What do you think?
Yangzhou.
Yangzhou. Female golfer. Regardless, apparently a guy was going around on his scooter shooting dogs with dart guns.
What?
The darts apparently were poison. He killed half a dozen dogs using the darts.
Where is this?
Jiangsu province in Yangzhou.
In China?
In China.
Man, they should die. They should kill him.
Well, here's what happened. Apparently, he came up on his scooter, shot a dog with the dart gun, took off. The owner heard his dog's dying whimpers, rushed over to find it paralyzed on the ground. He climbed into his car and gave chase.
Uh-oh.
He then rammed the assailant into a pillar and through the brick wall of a shop.
Good.
And
killed him?
Yes, the man died at the scene.
Hey.
The owner is being questioned.
I mean, that's protecting your property.
The owner's family reportedly claimed that he got the pedals confused as he was driving and did not intend to ram the suspected dog killer with his car. That is the worst excuse
ever.
That
is a bad excuse, yeah. But he shouldn't have to make an excuse.
A female relative of the deceased reportedly said, "Even if we were in the wrong, that does not give you the right to be judge, jury, and executioner."
What's the rule on that in Texas? And I don't know about in China, but in Texas, let's say somebody drives by my house and shoots my dog, and I see it. Can I shoot them?
If it's in your yard,
yeah.
I know you can defend your property. I don't know the exact law, but I don't think you can chase him down and ram him like that.
That's BS.
Well, you should be able to.
You should. What if it's your kid?
Well, see, I think if you cut me off in traffic, I should be able to have my spy car shoot your tires out.
I mean, I can't imagine if someone killed my dog. Oh man, I would be like intentionally killed my dog. I would be tough to stop.
Apparently, shooting dogs with darts in China is fairly commonplace. 8 gang members were arrested in December after 200,000 poisoned darts, which could be fired at dogs, were sold in China.
Who's doing that? Like,
oh, the vendors reportedly hunted dogs on the street and traded the meat in restaurants.
But once you, I mean, restaurants want poisoned meat? Poisoned dog meat?
Yeah.
Ugh.
I don't know what exactly they were using in the darts, but.
That's absurd.
Yeah. Regardless, that's your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Jong, is this a common thing? Going around killing dogs like that?
I have no idea.
Jong's not Chinese. Are you?
No.
See,
but
I
supposed,
told you.
You're supposed to be an expert on all things Asian. And last time I checked, China is part of
Asia. He is our Asian expert, but he's very limited in his knowledge.
Can you step up your China game a little bit?
I mean, I can try.
I mean, we kind of need you to, because none of us know a damn thing about it.
Right.
And clearly Granado doesn't either. He just makes voices.
So, I know, Jong, Asians only hang out with other Asians, but, like, would your Asian group of friends hang out with, like, or is it all Koreans, or do you guys hang out with like with Chinese or Japanese people?
I mean, I hang out with Teresa's family.
Right. Besides them, do you hang out with any non-Korean Asians?
Not that I can think of.
Okay. See, it's very.
Well, it's just the majority of my friends that I made growing up were in church, and I go to a Korean church.
Right.
So that's kind of what happened.
Is it weird when you bring your non-Korean fiance around your Korean friends? Do they judge her?
No.
Do they speak Korean around her?
No.
Okay, good. That would be very rude, right?
We're English folk.
Okay. Always?
Yeah, majority of the time.
What about in your home?
It's a mix.
Okay. All right. But your parents, like when your parents are, if you've got Teresa over, your parents speak English.
Yes.
That's good. Okay. I predict this marriage will work.
Just off that.
Yes.
Okay.
I hope so. We need two guys to only be married once to help the show's average. We got to bring that average down. Some of us is, you know, some of us not so good. All right. Longhorn Dimitri said, my grandfather was stationed in China. My dad said they had to keep an eye on their dogs because people would try to steal them for food.
Yeah, I would shoot someone in the face.
Yeah, I probably would too. Well, my dog's been being kind of an a-hole lately, so maybe she should be eaten.
We need to talk to Lawyer Dave and see what kind of trouble I'd be in for that.
Yeah, I'm sure he could tell us.
I need to know.
All right, we're going to take a very quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN if you want to text the show. We'll take a look at your text. Joshua said, on Patriots had a late game drive against the Texans. Don't they do that to everyone, whether at the end of the first half or at the end of the game? Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, but you also had that Seahawks drive where you weren't even competitive stopping them. There's just so many things about that defense that I look at and I'm like, okay, if that was a guy in charge of it, good luck. We were just talking about some, you know, that basically they moved on from Dick LeBeau and they're going to look for a new DC, although Vrabel may want to keep the play-calling duties for himself. If you're a Texans fan, boy, you're hoping for that.
Please keep calling defense.
Yeah. Looks like Jack Del Rio may wind up with the Giants as defensive coordinator.
Like, wouldn't you have thought that that's a nice hire.
Yeah, it'd be a great hire.
Pat Shurmur and Jack Del Rio, that's a pretty good team
That's an upgrade for the Giants. So you got to decide what to do with Eli.
I'm really surprised. And I know normally teams go from one, if they've got an offensive head coach and they fire him, they go to a defensive guy. But if I'm the Titans, I'm looking for a coach that's going to get the most out of Marcus Mariota. That's what your franchise is built around. And to me, going after a defensive coordinator a poor defensive coordinator at that, instead of an offensive guy. Like, if I was the Titans, I'd be in on the Josh McDaniels sweepstakes with the Colts.
Well, I think they were. It's just that he prefers the Colts.
Well, I mean, Andrew Luck to Marcus Mariota, I would too. But or someone along those lines. I think, you know what I'm saying?
From what I understand, that was their first choice. He wanted the Colts more than the Titans. So, but I do think that the idea is, from everything I read, is that Vrabel's going to be a CEO type who will hire a, you know, like I said, looking to hire somebody with the Chip Kelly background to run the offense and then help develop Marcus Mariota. That's part of their deal. And he and Robinson know each other from their New England days, so that they'll allegedly be on the same page. So that's what they're going for. I'd rather not necessarily, well, if I'm a GM, I want a coach that's on the same page, but I want the best coach, even if we're going to clash.
That's where I'm at.
But, well, we'll see how it works out. I think I wish them all the best.
Not me.
Yeah, not really. But I don't know what Marcus Mariota is going to be. But, you know what? It's a gamble. We always talk about this. Are you going to do better? And, listen, I'm no Mike Mularkey fan. I don't think he's a very good coach. And for them to get as far as they did this year was pretty remarkable. And I think they deserve a lot of credit for that. But, you know, I don't know that they upgraded here. And we always talk about, well, if you think you can do better, then go out and do it, right? I don't know if they did that. This could be the opposite. They could actually go backwards next year. And that AFC South's not going to be a joke.
Nope.
Jaguars aren't going anywhere. I mean, I think there's some – I don't know if they'll be as good next year as they were this year. I think you can look at some things and say, okay, I don't know if this is going to repeat. I don't know if Leonard Fournette's going to hold up over, you know, he's hurt a lot. I don't know. But
if the Colts and the Texans have healthy quarterbacks,
then yeah,
the Titans might be the worst team in the AFC South.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not unrealistic to think that a healthy Deshaun Watson and a healthy Andrew Luck improve their teams that dramatically. I don't think that's out of the question at all. And granted, Mariota could take a step forward this year because
if you get the right guy, yeah.
Yeah, we expected him to really kind of come into his own this season, and he didn't. So this next year, I would think, is really important to his development. So that's why I figured they would go out and find someone who was an offensive mind and say, okay, this is your project. If you're going to be a successful coach here, Marcus Mariota's got to thrive.
Well, and I'm sure that's part of what they're going for. But, and again, the CEO thing can work if you have the right assistants, because you're – hell, Mac Brown did it for years at Texas. Recruit like a fiend and hire good assistants and let them do their jobs. And it can work in the NFL too, but you have to get the right guys. And many times we talk about it, a big part of the job is hiring the right assistants. And a lot of guys fail at that too. They may be good coaches, they may be good X's and O's guys, yeah. But if you fail, if you get the wrong guys in there, it can set your team back. And how many? Well, O'Brien failed with his offensive coordinator. He had to replace him with himself. Last year's hire at defensive coordinator was a failure. There's no way around it. And I get tired of all the excuses. Singh wants to know, at the end of the game when they were showing Blake Bortles crying, was he crying because he lost, or was he crying because he lost his job next year? That's the one thing about the Jags. I think they're kind of in a tough spot here because they're sort of in that Andy Dalton, Ryan Tannehill, boy, you know, if we get rid of this guy, I mean, he just got us within 4 points of going to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah, what do you do?
But if you feel like, and he, again, it's no fault of his that they lost necessarily.
No, I don't think he played poorly at all.
But if a guy like Alex Smith comes available, Alex Smith is enough of an upgrade that it warrants doing it.
That's the name.
If Eli Manning comes available, Eli Manning is enough of an upgrade over Blake Bortles.
I don't know if he is anymore at this stage of his career.
Eli Manning has played behind the worst offensive line in the league. Every receiver on his team got hurt year. They haven't been able to run the ball for like 3 years. I mean, I still think Eli's better than Blake Bortles.
I don't know. He may be broken by now.
The guy
hasn't come close to having a decent season now in a while. And yeah, those are all factors, but I think to me...
How about this? Put Blake Bortles on the New York Giants. What kind of success do you think he's had the last couple of years?
They had the number 2 overall pick in the draft last year was Eli Manning, so they're going to be the same thing.
I mean, I can't imagine that there would be much of a question if Blake Bortles was an NFL quarterback and he'd been playing with that team for the last couple of years.
Well, he was playing with pretty close to it for the years before. I mean, let's be honest. They had crap around him the first couple of years. I don't know. At this point, I don't want any part of Eli Manning. I don't think he's that quarterback anymore.
Even as a short-term
stopgap? No. I mean,
I'd be willing to try him.
What about Jay Cutler?
I think it's the same thing. And Jay Cutler may be better than those other two guys. Jay Cutler's definitely better than Blake Bortles. I think Jay Cutler right now might be better than Eli. Jay Cutler in Jacksonville, I think, would be... It'd be very interesting. Although, the one thing about Jay... he's no different than Blake Bortles. In fact, Blake Bortles is probably more careless with the ball at this point than Jay Cutler.
Well, that's why I think Alex Smith is the guy.
I think Alex Smith is a perfect fit because he's a guy who takes care of the football. And, you know, that's when you've got a great defense and a great run game, that's what you want, a guy who's not going to turn the ball over. Blake Bortles in 4 years has averaged 16 interceptions per. That's an interception per game on average. It's hard to win like that, even if the rest of the team around you is really good. So it's pretty remarkable that they've made it as far as they had.
713-780-ESPN if you want to text the show. And again, he wasn't bad. He was good against the Steelers. He wasn't great, but he was good. And I thought he was pretty good yesterday. And the question is, do you get fooled into thinking, okay, he made strides this year. Can he take that next step? And you don't want to give up on him. But I think that's the most interesting because I do think the Jags are very close to being, obviously, they're 4 points away from going to the Super Bowl. They're close to being a Super Bowl team. And I do think I would take them over the Eagles had they won. But, you know, I do think that's the toughest offseason decision. Do you bring him back? And if you do... Do you consider drafting somebody reasonably high as a backup that you might develop into that guy? Like the Chiefs did. Obviously you think the Alex Smith thing is, I don't think you're going to draft somebody 11th overall like they did with Mahomes, but do you invest a high second round or your late first round pick on him, on a guy?
That's tough.
And just say, okay, maybe this guy develops. If not, we got Bortles. Eric said, should the Jags make a run at Tyrod Taylor? I don't know that Tyrod Taylor, it's not really an upgrade to me.
I don't know. I mean, Tyrod Taylor's more careful with the football.
Yeah.
You know, I think Tyrod Taylor's sort of a poor man's Alex Smith. I don't think that would be I don't think that's a bad call, but I don't know if Tyrod Taylor's good enough to get anybody over the hump.
Yeah. All right. Quick break. One more segment to go. We'll have a little dumbass report when we return. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1.
Work it, make it, do it. Makes us harder, better, faster, stronger. Work it, that
don't kill me. Can only make me stronger. I need you to hurry up, man. Cause I can't wait much longer.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Time to get on the map. SportsMap.com, your one-stop shop for all things Houston sports on the internet. Tons of good stuff on there today. A.J. Hoffman's on there. I'm on there. A lot of other people are on there. Good stuff. Tomorrow, Raheel Ramzanali will be on there.
Ramzanali.
And
what's Raheel writing about?
Raheel is writing about four signature shoes he's excited about for the second half of the NBA season.
Shoes?
Shoes. Yeah, he's a shoe guy. Jong will read that. Jong's into that kind of stuff.
Jong's not reading that.
Yeah, he is.
You reading that, Jong?
Yeah, I'll check it out.
Yeah, see? God. And then Patrick.
I saw a commercial for Paul George's PlayStation shoes. That looks like the dumbest thing in the world. I don't know how much they cost, but whatever it is, it's too damn high. It's too damn high.
Well, Raheel will be writing about that. We'll have Patrick Creighton writing tomorrow as well, and Jermaine Every with his Everything Sports column.
See, yeah, I like that play on words.
Yeah. All right, let's do a dumbass report.
All right, let's do it. How about a fight over a cheesecake, Fred?
I'm down with that.
Domestic violence fight.
Oh, not down with domestic
violence. The Moundville Times reported that Moundville Police Chief Toby Banks was called to a disturbance at a residence where two brothers live. Apparently, brother A cut the cheesecake and gave brother B a smaller piece than he thought it was fair. Banks said he asked for his opinion on whether the piece of cake was big enough for a grown bleeping man. He said he thought it was. So he tried to stab him. According to court reports, the older brother was still holding the butcher knife he used to cut the dessert when they began arguing about the portion size. The victim told police his brother punched him in the face and bruised his lip. The victim told police chief he felt threatened by the knife. The older brother said he was just holding it and never intended to use it.
I feel like we get a story like this about once a month.
Yeah. Spent 24 hours in jail, released on $1,200 bond. Experts don't recommend using a butcher knife to cut cheesecake. A sharp, thin-blade slicing knife or hollow-edge knife dipped in warm water reduces drag and makes a cleaner cut. Unscented dental floss is also an option.
But if you're going to chop up your brother,
butcher knife works better.
Yeah.
Butcher knife works better than dental floss in general. Jordan, Minnesota. A 19-year-old driver is facing DWI charges and felony drug charges.
Oh, geez.
After he crashed through the police department sign early Saturday morning.
Oh, that's a bad move, you betcha.
Around 1:20 a.m. on Saturday, an officer was transporting an intoxicated driver back to the police department when he noticed a car had crashed through the police department's entrance sign. The car had then become stuck in a snowbank.
Of course.
Two men, both 19, were attempting to dig the car out to free it from the snowbank. The driver admitted to using marijuana, taking Xanax, and drinking alcohol. He refused all field sobriety testing, but he was obviously highly impaired and could not clearly explain how he drove off the road, crashed his car into our sign, or how he got stuck in the snowbank, police said.
That's not going to work for me, you see?
Yeah, it's not
It's
not a lucky spot to crash into, I mean, of all the places. A North Carolina man has been caught. He was caught for break-ins after winning a donut-eating contest. He's been arrested again, and this time he's accused of stealing from a donut shop. 27-year-old Bradley Hardison is a donut-eating champion who apparently has almost... In 2014, he won a donut-eating contest put on by the police department while he was wanted on suspicion of several break-ins. Investigators said they arrested him after his win prompted further scrutiny, and he was convicted. Well, he's now gone back to breaking and entering and committing larceny in these donut shops. He has an unhealthy obsession with donuts that has now sent him to jail twice.
It's a jelly.
Oh, no. And finally, Florida man.
Of course.
Who's 23, Jawan Brown, has been arrested after an argument with his girlfriend led him to throw a piece of fried chicken at her. He hit her in the face and triggered his arrest for domestic battery. He had a dispute with his living girlfriend. It turned violent in St. Petersburg. He's 6'2", 220 pounds, stepped on her foot, threw a piece of chicken at her, striking her in the left side of her face and glasses. Subsequently arrested by a sheriff's deputy and booked into the county jail. Brown has been ordered to have no contact with the victim. He was also arrested in 2015 for striking the same woman who was pregnant at the time. That time was apparently not with poultry, but a fried chicken attack that gets you in the news. So there you go. That is your dumbass report for this week, Fred.
So I noticed a theme.
Yeah.
Fried chicken. Ooh. Yeah. Well, fried chicken, cheesecake, donuts, and a vegetable.
What was the vegetable?
The guy who ran the car into the...
Yeah, I don't know if vegetable works there.
Fruit? Maybe he was fabulous.
Maybe so.
No? I don't know.
How about a ding-dong?
Ah, there you go. Uh-huh. That works. That's not as much of a stretch as the other ones. All right. So, John, do you have a podcast?
Yep, it'll be dropping tomorrow.
Tell us a little bit about what you will be doing.
We talked some Black Panther, and we talked and we addressed the Aziz Ansari because we didn't get to do that when that dropped.
I see. Was your opinion much different than what we discussed on air?
No, not too much different. And it's kind of like the whole Stan Lee thing where nobody's really said anything bad about Stan other than the nurses that came out and said, or I guess that one nurse that came out and said something about Stan Lee.
Hey, have you watched Black Lightning?
No, but I heard that got the biggest rating for CW in like quite some time.
Yeah, I'm surprised you haven't watched it, John.
I'm not into network shows.
Well, I'm kind of counting
on you. I don't like
them
either. The only one I like is Gotham. But if you're going to do a podcast about it, you need to get off your ass and watch these shows.
Yeah,
we're just oversaturated with comic book stuff. So,
what do? You put out another podcast?
He does two a week. You do two a week. Get on there and watch it.
There's an oversaturation in comic book show stuff. So let's do a podcast about it.
No, we just limit ourselves.
You're continuing to oversaturate comic book stuff.
All right. We'll do it again tomorrow. Stay sportsy, bitches.